It took a while to make. I wanted to work with the lead actress, Cara Wai, after I made the film At the End of Daybreak in 2009. She was a very famous Shaw Brothers martial artist, so I thought I wanted to make an action film with her before it's too late. She was already 50, so it's really not that easy, you know, physically for her. But she agreed, so the film is tailor-made for her.
Yes, it's really something. She's had such an amazing career over so many decades, and now she's come back to do this quite incredible, really kinetic film. Did you enjoy putting it together?
Yeah, the script went through many drafts. Some of the earlier drafts were a little bit too maybe bloody, and it's not the direction that we wanted to go. So we decided to tone it down, and you know, we wanted to also make her likable. Rather than the earlier drafts, they're pretty violent, and she's this more cold-blooded housewife than it is now. Yeah.
So who exactly does she play in this film?
She plays a housewife living a peaceful life in the Malaysian suburb, and then one day somebody shows up and says, "I know you." You know. So it's. I also wrote the film like it's a Western, you know, because I'm a big fan of Western films. Because, interestingly, Western films are my earliest film memories, you know. For some reason, when I was growing up, there are a lot of Western films on TV. And, of course, a lot of cartoons, but I did watch a lot of Westerns. So those things sort of stayed with me. And, yeah, I didn't make this very much like those early day Shaw Brothers films, even though I watched them when I was growing up. But for some reason, the Western stayed with me more than the Shaw Brothers films. Yeah.
Well, I really did notice a lot of Western motifs in this. There was an amazing scene, a standoff in the warehouse. There's a lot that the fans of classic Westerns can really enjoy. And a lot of really incredible fight scenes you put together.
Yeah, two main ones. And we didn't want the fight scenes to be with too much pattern. So the fight scenes, they're a bit messy. They're a bit more to the bone, I suppose. Yeah, more crunchy.
No, they're very, very much so. Now, it seems to be a bit of a trend in cinema lately. There's been quite a few films, John Wick, the Taken series, where someone who has had a career as, well, in the John Wick case, it was an assassin. Here, we're not quite clear on exactly who she was, but in their semi-retirement at a later stage in life, comes out and has to go back into what was the very old way of being.
If you think about Unforgiven, like Clint Eastwood's films, it's very much so. You know, he's a pretty ruthless killer in the old days, and then retired farmer. And a young boy shows up and say, "Would you want to work with me to go kill somebody?" You know, and he says, "I'm not the guy. I'm no longer the guy anymore. You know, you don't know me. You know, I don't do that anymore."
She had quite a few of those moments in the film. But what I remember about Unforgiven was there's this mythos around who Clint Eastwood was and this sort of mythical figure. And there's a bit around what did she do to get to this point? Why do people revere her and fear her so much?
She was a professional robber. And in the film, we slowly know that she did a very big score, like her last score with her team. And then she basically disappeared from the scene. And then nobody knows where all these people have gone. So that's the gist of it. She's the leader of the gang. Yeah. So she's capable. She's not a killer like many people would want to, you know, I mean, she can fight and all, but she's not an assassin. Right. She's a professional robber with a gang of thieves. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's what we're really appealing about the film. This was a conscious decision, but there really were no good guys as such. They were all very different shades of gray. Was this a creative decision when making the film?
Yeah, that's true. There was also a worry because when we were making the film, there's a concern about if you wanted to enter the China market, the law needs to play a role. But obviously, you don't see the hands of the law in the film. You don't see policemen coming out to arrest these people, right? Nobody gets jailed. Yes. Instead, they all get killed, right? So, I don't know. In the end, I did have an alternative ending, but that ending seems very odd and it doesn't work. So I decided to not put in, and this is the final version that she solves her problem. And so I guess we're really not thinking about the China market. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. There were a lot of really memorable scenes in the film, but one I found particularly interesting was one of the quieter scenes, the dinner scene, where her and the other main protagonist or antagonist in the film are just sitting around talking, having a very in-depth conversation. What was your thinking behind the scene? It really stood out for me.
Oh, the one with Simon Yam?
Yes.
The revelation of her past. That you know you get to know more about the past. I think generally, usually the show off can be kind of loud. You know, you design set pieces for the show off, but I sort of turn it the other way around. And it's also the very first time you see the antagonist and the protagonist meet. So I figured the scene should be rather quiet, and it also reveals something about their relationship, because they used to be a couple in that sense. So they should do very normal things. Like, I can't think of anything more normal than sitting down having a dinner. So that's how it came about. Yeah. It actually happened very late in the writing that I decided to make it this way. In the earlier drafts, it's a bit more typical, yeah.
And it's interesting that a lot of these films, we talked about Taken and Unforgiven earlier, have a male lead, but this one has a female lead who's protecting her family. What was the decision by this? And do you think it led to a different dynamic in the film from a lot of what you've seen before?
I do think so, yeah. Obviously, the film is written for Cara Wai, and she always struck me as having not just the feminine side, but something that's very, very masculine about her inside. She's a very strong-willed person. I work with her so far maybe 3 times now. She has very strong opinions about something, and also her personal life is very, very colorful. And she's led a very tough life growing up, and it sort of really shaped her into this very strong and dynamic individual. So I really quite like that, and I told her that no matter what I do in the writing in that role, I always imagine this other side of you. And she did contribute a lot to that. Yeah. So that's how it all came about. It's slowly shaped into this person called Mrs. K.